We'd like to welcome you again. We'd like to welcome you again to another episode of Missing Pages of History. As your host, Lee Robinson, coming to you live out of Richmond, Virginia, and throughout the world for our various chapters, we can have some of our members talk about and share with you some of the things that's going on in the nick of that woods. The second one is what's going on in the nick of your woods. We recognize that often when we think about history, history is written for his story or somebody else's story. So today we want to talk about our story. That's one of the things Mr. Page of History wanted to do. We want to develop a vehicle where our people can begin to tell our stories. And right now, in the month of November 2012, with the elections coming up, and we just had a hurricane that came through the east coast of the United States, it has created all kinds of stories and issues that we like to get perspectives from the people who are working on the ground. This is what Missing Pages of History is all about. So right now, we're going to introduce one of our members of Raleigh, North Carolina, our brother, Mr. Emmanuel Joyner. Welcome to Missing Pages of History, Mr. Joyner.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you, Mr. Joyner, first and foremost, give us a sense of what's going on in the nick of your woods. What are some of the issues that you think is important that our people need to know at this point in time?
Well, once again, the voting is very important. Make sure that you vote. There are a lot of GOP. They're doing some negative strategies out there to try to suppress the vote, especially the African-American vote, the minority vote, the Hispanic vote, the Latin vote, the women vote. They're doing some things that are being acknowledged, but that's the way they do. When you're a loser, you think of these negative things beyond the negative ads, and most ads are not telling the truth, coming from the GOP side of Romney. And he still won't take him down. So some of the billboards say if you've committed a felony, you cannot vote. That's not true. If you paid your debt to society, you can vote. So all these, Florida has a six-page ballot. That's amazing. It takes a long time to vote. So the main thing you want to vote on is make sure they'll affect you. You have to vote on everything. But mainly you vote for the president, incoming president of the United States of America. I support Barack Obama. And the endorsements he got for the last week from General Colin Powell was fantastic, and Mayor Bloomberg, and the confidence that the governor of New Jersey is showing him behind Sanders, that notorious storm. So he's getting a lot of support there, and he's doing the right thing. He's shown his leadership ability. Romney has basically picked up everything out of North Carolina. He didn't want North Carolina. He's concentrating on Ohio now, Michigan, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, Virginia. That's where he's concentrating now. And some of his surrogates are doing the same thing, not as many as Barack Obama has. You got President Clinton in your corner, you're not doing bad. And you got the Kennedy girl, Caroline Kennedy, in your corner, you're not doing bad. So that's who's here. Ms. Obama comes here, I think, today or Monday. Michelle Obama comes to Charlotte. So we got Bill Clinton, I think he comes today to Raleigh. So that's what's going on in my neck of the woods. Everybody's voting. I voted curbside. I voted early voting. I think today is the last day for early voting in North Carolina. So, again, these are some of the tactics that the GOP is using to close the polls early. Sunday, don't have them at all after church, for most African Americans take buses or whatever, and they go to vote on Sunday. But most of us work two jobs. We work hard. So, and again, we have the chance for us to vote all the time. We have to, strategize. Most of the time, we vote after church. Suddenly behind the election, but again, the lines are long, some are 4 and 5 hours long, and it's a little cool out there. So, but that's what's going on in North Carolina. that we knew it. We had a very good early voting, and Obama was ahead in the early voting. I have no idea what stations they came out of, what polling stations they came out of, but that's what's going on here. Everybody's going out and say they're voting, and we got, I said again, we have quite a few people coming in, surrogates to President Obama, and which is fantastic. I think Bruce Springsteen is coming also, the boss. He's coming along with Mr. Clement also, Clay Matthews Band. So I think it's called Clay Matthews, the Matthews Band, whatever they're called there. They're coming along with them. So North Carolina is doing very well. It's no longer a swing state. Concentration is based on Ohio, and the concentration is on Wisconsin, Iowa, and Nevada. These are the states that's going to probably swing this election. And Obama is ahead, which is fantastic.
And let me stop you and make sure I heard you clearly before we go to our Philadelphia chapter with our brother McCall. You said North Carolina is no longer a swing state. What do you mean by that?
Well, what happened is that emphasis at one time was on North Carolina being a swing state. But not a swing state anymore. They sort of pulled it out. Ohio and Wisconsin, they put in Wisconsin, and they throw in Minnesota now.
You said those states that have been rejected to be in favor
right.
of
and Pennsylvania.
President Obama?
Okay. Yeah, Pennsylvania. Those are swing states. Florida is basically a swing state because of the Electoral College, how many votes they have. North Carolina, they're not going, you know, the first time was carried by a Democrat, but Obama carried it last over 14,000 votes. And we still need the Electoral College vote here, but he don't need to win North Carolina to win the Electoral College. He has to go to the mid-state. I think he got those mid-state covers, which is Minnesota, which is Wisconsin, which is Ohio, and these are cities he needs, and Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has been Democratic since I don't know when, so Romney is not even thinking, but he's trying to make a last ditch like McCain did, to try to make a ditch in Pennsylvania, but it's not going to happen. Pennsylvania is Democratic all the way, so.
Okay, so you're Nick of the Woods. We had an election in North Carolina. Let's go up to one of our chapters in Philadelphia. We have with us Brother Mikhail McLean, and I believe we have with us our Sister June as well. Welcome to Mr. Page's History.
Peace. This is Brother Mikhail. We're here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And what's going on here? We just got through the storm. Fortunately, Philadelphia itself didn't get hit too bad. But surrounding states did take a beating. Delaware seems to be have been through quite a bit, and also New Jersey. And I'm sure everybody's aware of how bad New Jersey's been hit. And because of that, we have to be a little bit concerned concerning the actual election itself. I'm sure the federal government's going to do what it can, and the states will do what they can to make sure that the election goes through, that there's power for the voting booths. But I would encourage everybody to get out there and make sure that they cast that ballot and be very careful in how you do so. There's been a bit of controversy concerning whether you can just vote straight Democratic and still have the president included. I've heard two different versions of that story, and I would suggest that you make that final determination by calling someone that you can trust. And hopefully it's the State Board of Elections in your state, and here in Philadelphia we have the Committee of 70. I'm going to pass the phone over to my wife, June McLean. She's got the information for you for the Philadelphia area at least.
Yes, good afternoon. To continue with what Michael has said, in the Philadelphia County, the Board of Elections actually extended the absentee ballot for voters who wanted to, try to get it in because of the storm. It has been extended to 5 p.m. on Monday, November 5th. So if you still want to vote by absentee ballot, you can get that in. And the number to call in the Philadelphia County Board of Elections for further questions or information will be 215-686-3469.
Okay, so we got the storm conditions up there as well as elections in Philadelphia. That was going on in the back of in the nick of your woods. What about in Richmond, Virginia? We have with us Sister Susie Robinson. She will be giving her perspective of what's going on in the back in the nick of her woods. Sister Susie, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Hello, everyone. What I'd like to say pretty much is everything the same as it is in North Carolina and Philly. The only issue, I realized that we had an issue with felons who want their rights restored. What they've done here in Virginia is they're making them put out financially. There's one brother, he has to pay $1,000 in order to have the right to vote. Even though they cleared him, he was eventually found not guilty of his crime. But as a result of it, they said the only way he can vote for the election is he's got to come up with $1,000.
Can I actually clarify that a little bit, Sister Susie? They have to pay some money. What kind of money does this young man have to pay for being a felon?
Yes, actually put out $1,000. They've given him the right to vote. But to make his vote official, he has to actually pay the election board $1,000. And that's, to me, that's just another deterrent, telling felons you have the right once you clear, because he was actually found not guilty of the crime. It was the crime of rape. And this is just another way to just encourage a lot of them to even consider voting. That's just another tactic that they're using, actually making them pay.
Well, Sister Susie, this is June from Philadelphia. I'm interested. What legal precedent are they using, or is this something new? Have they tried this before?
I'm not really sure as far as the presence of it. I just realized that that's what they were doing this year. I don't recall it happening in the past elections. This is the first time I found out that they actually physically they have to put out money.
And has anybody... How is the neighborhood or the citizens of Richmond responded to this demand?
Well, according to the newspaper, basically there's no response. There's some individuals from some organizations that's going to try to come up with the money so his vote will count.
Oh, that's interesting.
For me, I think it's a policy question. If they allow these kind of policies to exist, you're talking about affecting thousands and thousands of people. And that's just a question of just allowing him the right to vote. I'm quite sure there are other people in the same predicament. But let's move on. That's real interesting because I know one of the other things about these convicted felons is that they're now charging them to pay when they are incarcerated. They have to pay for their stay. They charge them a fee to stay in the prison. Are any of y'all aware of that particular process or procedure? Is that taking place anywhere in the areas where you at, Mr. Joyner and Mikhail, where the prisoners have to pay for their stay?
Well, I know they have to. They have to work. They need X amount of dollars for working. I know there is. There are fees. But again, it's more like a work release program, and they take some of the money they do from the work from they you know, they earn from the work release program, and I get all this incurred in that work release program. Is that see a lot of people that vote, they're on the rolls. I'll call them incarceration rolls, whatever you want to call them, and what happens here is that when they go to vote, they actually do a check on them, see if they want it for anything. They are outstanding traffic tickets, this or that. So a lot of people don't vote because of that. Child support, all this. They've been looking for people. So that voting thing gives them, that's an outreach program from the police department that's connected with the Justice Department. And they can arrest you soon after you vote sometime because you have outstanding warrants. So all these things come into play. and they put them into play during this particular time. So if you check the numbers after the election, you'll find there have been more arrests, more warrants being served or whatever, picking up people than ever. I call these the glorified years, or the election is the glorified year for the police department, the Justice Department, to collect. And this is what goes on. This is like I say, there's not nothing up under the table, but this is what happens. When you register to vote, everything sort of goes out there. That's why they want ID, they want this and that, because they're trying to shore up the Justice Department to create money, to create fees. So to find felons who've been out there, people who escaped from prison that can't find them, people who violated probation, this is once every 4 years. This is what happens when this goes on for the national election. Coming back to what Sue was talking about, the $1,000, that's unheard of. That's like a poll tax. I mean, it's a very heavy poll tax. I never heard of such a thing. That should be investigated a little bit. You got an investigative reporter in Richmond, Virginia. I would call that in Monday morning to see exactly what it says in the newspaper and everything else. Somebody has to be reading that. I never heard of such a thing. Never. $1,000? My question is, where does $1,000 go? Who gets it? I mean, what department, and where does it go? How does it get spent? So take a look at that Monday and see what's, maybe there's a phone number they can give somebody to call. Let's find out, just for
okay.
Like I said, again, that's newsworthy.
I don't find that unusual because I know up on this end in Richmond, Virginia, like I said, when people get locked up now, they charge you for the space, for staying in the space.
Yeah,
when you come out unemployed or have no money, you got to still pay that money.
Yeah, in some states they're doing that. Florida is one.
In Richmond.
Texas is one, so they, Massachusetts is one, the way of collecting fees.
Is this another form of permanent enslaving someone in the society?
Because the man hasn't got expense. $1,000 is very expensive.
This is Mike in Philly. We've been hearing about these things, and I think you have to check it on a state-by-state basis because the law concerning felons or people with a criminal record varies from state to state, whether they can vote or how soon they can vote and so on and so forth. But we have been hearing the same thing that you mentioned about Richmond, Virginia, or in addition to if you happen to have child support or other debts, they continue to accrue while you're in prison. And as you come out, you're liable to be held liable for that bill that just gone up while you've been locked up, even if you haven't been, if you were found not guilty. So I think everybody who's interested needs to check their state voting board, find out exactly what the situation is in your state. And I think Mr. Jordan is quite right in that if that kind of thing is going on, whether it's in Richmond, Philadelphia, Charlotte, or whatever city or state, the local press should be informed. And who knows, maybe somebody will take a look into that.
I can throw this subject out there. I'd like for everyone to give their own understanding or their perception of what they think might could be going on, based upon historical legacy or the past behavior of the government as relates to natural disasters. I was listening to a program last night where there was people talking about the possibility of this natural disaster may have been more man-made than something natural. They had to say this question of using science to manipulate the weather to create certain conditions. And they were talking about politically motivated, it could be intended to favor one party over another party by denying people access to voting rights or a voting booth where they would have less of a chance of winning key states. I noticed this whole natural disaster hit the Northeast area and may have an impact on people's ability to vote. Also, in terms of people were talking about how the news media may not be covering certain communities in terms of its impact. For example, in New York City, there was arguments on one of the programs that they are paying very little attention to areas that have large concentration of people of color or African people. I'd just like to get y'all feedback on what are some of the similarities and differences that you see as of today, or how they dealt with this natural disaster that just recently hit the East Coast versus Katrina. I start with Pennsylvania, then go to North Carolina, Richmond. What is your take, Pennsylvania?
Okay, this is Mikhail. Pennsylvania has been hit with some of the storm, but it wasn't quite as bad as we thought it would be. I think that if we look at Delaware and New Jersey, which is right on our borders, that's the area to pay attention to because so much of the area is still without power. As June mentioned, Philadelphia is extending the time for absentee ballots, and there seems to be some work underway with the federal government making sure that these folks can get to some vote some term, whether it's extending the voting time or providing an alternative means. Now, I've heard that story before where the science has been able to manipulate the weather. I really hope that's not the case, because if it is, it means a lot of trouble for folks down the line. But I believe some of the states are making an effort, especially on the Democratic side, to make sure those folks can be cast.
Okay. Mr. John, what you make of how they've been dealing with the natural disaster and what lesson we did and haven't learned?
First of all, science has no control over that. You can't do anything about it. It happens all over the world, natural disasters. You can't stop an earthquake, this, that. That's far-fetched. You can't create a whole lot. Now, by that being said, you have to watch people that blog. People blog nonsense, and that's totally nonsense. This storm originated down by the Bahamas, by Florida, picked up, the water makes it what it is, and of course went to the northeast. It's a system that's going to have storms. You're not going to have storms in California. You have quake. Everybody has their natural disasters. You have tornadoes in the Midwest. Because, again, it's the way the terrain is, certain areas. So we have to understand that. I'm not going to get into to climate control. We can't control the climate. That's impossible. But, again, what I've read so far and what I've seen so far on television, I think they're doing a great job because the infrastructure of New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, all that Barack Obama tried to put in a jobs bill to get all that redone and re-get the grids done, nobody didn't do anything about it. Same with Katrina. President Clinton tried to get the walls built down there and everything else in Louisiana, but GOP went against it. And look what happened. So there are some things that you can do. You can build these walls. That's why we build dams. Things that we do to try to, because you can't stop it. You can't stop, that type of, any type of storm. It's coming regardless. You can't do anything but get out of the way and evacuate. But so far, I looked at places like Staten Island, which sits way out there by itself. So New York is built on rocks, little islands, basically, little barrows. Everybody know what a barrow is. So as an earthquake, you're going to have these kind of problems. So I think they're doing all they can. That's quite an area to cover and very few people to cover. And, again, you got the sentiments and the emotions of people on a storm like you can't even brace for a storm like this. You do everything you can to brace for it, but it just doesn't happen. But I don't take soothsayers to tell me exactly when I got good common sense knowing you cannot stop when God prevails the way he prevailed with these storms, then you know, you can't do anything about it. You just wait till it's over, then you try to correct things as fast as possible. Now, some communities, it's hard to get to because they're more severe. So there's a danger. Things are blowing up. There's gas, everything else. People got to understand what goes on. They're doing all they could do. They got your National Guard out there. They got people, neighbors. They got, I think, 15 states are participating. They flying stuff in as fast as they can. Now, there's no place to land, no place to carry stuff, to put stuff, with all different causes of devastation. Being a war person, I know things you I do why wars last longer than they last, because of destruction. So sometimes you got to look out for your safety. But everything is being done that can be done. I like what the president put in place, the 15-minute rule. If you get no's, you call them directly to get a yes in 15 minutes. So it's a vast area to cover, vast area. And they're not used to this type, especially New York. New York, I said, you got the lower Manhattan, which water is low. There's a low area there, so it's going to set a certain way. And it's dangerous. People are helping you. The ones that are talking are the ones not doing no help. They're the ones that are criticizing. They're not there in this mud and water and feces and everything else. And pipes, you know, things are blowing up. And things just might blow up any given time. So it's a danger. So you got to look at all the possibilities of trying to get this thing squared away. But like I say, this is devastating. Because the way New York is built with the tall building, the subway, water going up, water's all over the place. So communications. People been so, everything been so convenient. Inconvenience is quite an ordeal. Try not flushing your toilet, see how inconvenient that's going to be. And that's a small thing. And look how emotions, when you can't do that, you're all over the place. Again, you know, we have to just basically say, you know, it's going to take a while. You know, this is not, can't be done over time. You're going to get the complaints from people because their emotions. Their emotion and convenience have been disconnected. So my thing over and over again is telling people just, it's going to happen. I think Governor Crisp in New Jersey is doing a fantastic job. The federal government is doing FEMA is doing a fantastic job. And, of course, the government of the other states are coming in bringing everything you can. And people are doing, fantastic jobs. People just have to look and say, you know something? Wow. Look what happened. We got to come out of this thing. I understand people don't have a house, food. They get in garbage cans trying to get. This is terrible. But there's no place for them to go, basically. When you got 8 million people without lights for a while, I think it's down to 2 million now, guys working as much as they can with those old grids. This stuff is old. Are you trying to put something back when it's old? It's like an old car. You got a brand new car in the 2000s. You got a car, you know, in the 1970s and 80s and 90s. It's a different fix. You're going to have to find parts. Oh, it's not convenient anymore. It's not an AutoZone no more. Those parts are way out there. You got to find them. So it's the same thing in New York. It's old city. Staten Island was there in 1682, I think it was. And it sits out there by itself. So people, I understand people of color. Everybody try to make everything a certain way. Everything is not race sometimes. We got to pull it out sometimes. Everybody know that's there. But everything, of course, the more affluent, the most wealthy areas, yes. That's trying to get the businesses back started. Once they get started, other things happen. So, yes, you want New York to light up again. Of course you want Wall Street to get... We want to do Wall Street to get busy first or Main Street? Wall Street could get our jobs, this, that, this, and that. I mean, everything we've developed. They got the most modern stuff to connect the old stuff. So you want to start from the modern stuff, trying to, you know, diffuse and connect the old stuff. It's like having brass pipe and this or that. Now, you know, it's piece, you know, it's the plastic stuff. That's what you want. So this is all good. So we got to revert things. You know something? So this is not bad. We're connecting stuff, the pipes, everything else to modern Wall Street, where the new buildings are.
Okay, I have to stop you for a second, Mr. Jordan, just to inform our viewers that if you want to continue to hear the rest of this discussion, we're going 5 minutes over. You can blog us in at blogtalkradio.com/missingpageshistory. We're going to go 5 minutes over. Continue, Mr. Joyner.
Yeah, but that's my take on it. You know, we've got to understand that people say, well, my community not doing this. Your community is old. You're going to put new stuff in. We got to get this old stuff out of there. We can't connect the old stuff to the new stuff. Get your brand new stuff coming up in there. So this is what it's all about. It's like having an old TV with lines and green, all different kind of neat tubes, opposed to a flat screen with low energy, everything else. So it's better connection. And it's much clarity, much clear. So people got to go out there and say what I'm saying, basically saying, hey, we're going to get to you. The essential stuff, water and food, we're going to get that to you as safely, and people got to get that to you safely. So there's a lot of stuff involved. But we got to look at the whole ramifications of what's going on. I understand people's frustration. I understand it. I've been there. So, being in California with the earthquakes, my refrigerator met me in my bedroom. I'm like, what the world are you doing up in here? Well, you think that didn't frustrate me? What in the world? I got a refrigerator in my bedroom going against my bed. I'm like, and the ground is cracking. I'm like, oh, my God. He said, oh, Jesus, what's going on? You trying to hold, hey, you try to do stuff, you know, get between this. You don't worry about anything anymore. You try to get up out of there, whatever, you know, whatever it is. So I've been there with quite a few earthquakes, and everything sliding towards you, and I'm like, wow, buildings just painted, crushing down, and all of a sudden these cracks. A guy was riding the motorcycle, and the ground cracked, and he went straight down. Have no idea. I'm like, oh, my God. So these things happen. Actually, you got to, you know, hold yourself together emotion-wise. And so, okay, I got to call my buddies up when it's over with to come get the refrigerator out of my bedroom. I got to call my buddies up. They can get over here. I have no idea what kind of shape they're in. I'm where the ground is cracked where they are. They can't dry. Just don't know. So, again, I'm repeating myself again that people, and this is the best I think I've seen is this Aster come in. You're dealing with water. And you're dealing with subway. You're dealing with a city up under another city. One on top, one at the bottom. So you know what you're dealing with in New York. People have been to New York. They've been to New Jersey. You know what you're dealing with. So when people say, they make any excuse to say, well, the wealth is doing this. It's not about the wealthy. It's about basically fitting things to make it better. Something Barack Obama say, we need our bridges done, we need to redo our grids, we need to do this and that, and GOP went totally against it with the jobs bill. He knew, I knew, that this stuff is old, like an old tree. And you got, we still got telegram poles. Everything is up underground, basically, now. Where they're trying to put cable up underground. But we still got a bunch of telegram poles, which is to me, is very unsafe. Lightning strikes them and it just goes crazy. But again, you know, it's safety first for the people who's trying to rescue people. You got to give it some time. This storm was a major storm. And another one will be coming in next week. Oh, how major that going to be? But again, you got water coming again. More frustration coming. And people, you're only dealing with people. And people are coming from 15 states. Money being donated, everything we can to get people in the hotel rooms, whatever it takes. Because, again, a million people in New York don't have beds to even sleep in because you got that much tourism there. I saw where they cut the marathon out. Well, I thought that was very good to do that. Use those people don't pay for rooms. They got to be frustrated. They done flew and spent all. Who going to pay people all this money they done spent coming around the world running the marathon? There's some
okay,
other
Mr.
things.
Okay, Mr. Jones, we're going to have to cut you right there, and we're going to have to go to our sister Susan, just get a brief view on her, on their perspective. What is your take on this, how to deal with the disaster area? Maybe what lessons we can learn comparing the two, Katrina and Sandy.
I think the biggest advantage that they had with this one versus Katrina, you have more of a communication line. Because of the cell phones and the computers and Twitters and Facebooks and everything, at least to a certain extent, people in the position that makes make the decision for the city, they are able to communicate with the other forces that's out there doing the best job they can given the situation.
And thank you. We missed our Sister June up in Philly, and we didn't get her response to this issue. Sister June?
Sister June has just stepped out of the room.
Yes,
I think she, if anything, she would like for everybody to really do that double check at the before you vote in each state to make sure exactly what the situation is in your particular state, whether it's for felons, extended voting. You need to check on and make sure for your area.
Final thoughts from Mr. John in North Carolina.
Yeah, we need to do an hour show. Anytime there's a talk show on it, they're always an hour, and there's never half an hour. So if you can get extended to 1 hour, that's not a sitcom. Sitcoms are half an hour. Talk shows are an hour. All of them are. So try to get more time for us. This is some blame time situation here. The voting, the election, and the stomp came at the same time. So, like was said, I hope that they'll say they're getting generators for the balloting boxes, so everything will run pretty smooth. So that's going to be fast. So I think everything, again, the generator is going to work, and that's going to make sure people actually get to the polls and the voting machines be working. So there are things that's coming into place to make it all happen.
Fine. This was from Susie out of Richmond.
pretty much the main thing I say is just get out there and vote. Let's do whatever is possible to get out there. And we do have a lot of mechanisms with buses and vans and stuff, which will be going to these communities to make sure people get to the polls.
Okay, on that note, we'd like to thank our audience for listening to Missing Pages of History, and we'd like to remind you that for those who'd like to communicate with us, they can contact us at P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia 23261, or you can reach us directly to 804-519-0357, or you can communicate with us through our email address, which is Missing Pages of History 1@yahoo.com. We are looking for writers, people who have an interest in telling their story, and people who have skills in terms of using communications as a weapon to improve our communities. Until next time, we thank you. We'll see you next Saturday, same place, same time, 12 noon on Saturdays. Until next time, we'd like to thank our guests, Brother McCall and Sister June out of Philadelphia, our brother, Mr. Joyner, out of Raleigh, North Carolina, and our sister, Susie, out of Richmond, Virginia. As your host, Lee Roberts, for Missing Pages of History today, we want you to remember, without information, you cannot think, and without organization, you cannot think clearly. Come forward and help us build Missing Pages of History and make it a valuable institution to help build our communities. We thank you.
Okay.